Well, we're going to go ahead and just welcome you to the live message of Hope is Alive. I think my CD has just kind of, it's a little scratched up. I'll have to make a new one of those. But we do welcome you here to Hope is Alive, and hope our brethren are on a little early, a little bit before the music is off. We'll see if we're on there. Are you there, Brother Ralph?
I am. I'm right at what it was. I thought maybe we were having
Well, let's try that again. I didn't quite hear you there. That might be my speaker. But good evening and welcome. And
I said I'm here. I'm here.
Good. Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm going to make a note. Have to make a new CD for that, Absolute. And but we can do that, and then hopefully we'll have that good to go for next week. And then good evening, Pastor Cox. How are you?
Well, good evening, Brother Victor, Brother Ralph, blessings from Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City.
Amen. Amen. Well, blessings from Wyoming. And well, Ralph, I'll turn it over to you. I know we've got a couple callers for tonight, and I'll be on standby and let you know when they call in.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. Pastor, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I'm hearing you fine now.
Okay, all right, because I'm hearing a lot of cutting out. It may be on his end. But anyway, everybody, we do welcome you to Hope is Alive. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We are live radio, and it's just us three. But if you have any questions about Deliverance, feel free to go to deliveranceusa.com. As I always say each week, it's a wealth of information at that website. Just about everything you need to know about deliverance, self-deliverance, to help maintain your deliverance, and to help others. Or you can get the fantastic book written by Pastor Cox, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus. It's a manual he put together. It's got it's just a fantastic, fantastic, easy-to-read book that'll help you through the process of deliverance. You can obtain that by calling Richard at the office at 307-742-7582. Let him know you want that book, and he will certainly get it out to you. And, Pastor, good evening.
Well, good evening, and great to be aboard again, Brother Ralph. And we had 17 cases at Deliverance Ministries Monday night. We had 14 trained ministers there. So it was a great evening. I ministered to a 33-year-old woman that had all kinds of infirmities. In fact, in the interview, I asked her what infirmities there were, and I started writing them down. And it was things like bladder and acid reflux and bloating and no period for 2 years, food sensitivity, headaches, scoliosis of the spine, vertigo, bleeding gums, allergy to food, brain arthritis, fatigue, and mood swings with depression and heart races. There were 17 of them. I counted them out. And got into ministry with her. We did the usual things of breaking ungodly soul ties, of course, and the inner healing. She had a number of traumas that she needed inner healing on. Finally, it was time for deliverance. I tried for the head demon, and I got it up. The head demon was confusion. The executive officer was destroyer, and it had 18 demons under it, under destroyer. 17 of which it finally commented as I interrogated it. 17 of them were infirmity spirits. And I thought that was really interesting. I didn't realize it until after the minister. But that's how many infirmities I actually wrote down on the page. Well, as we got on into the ministry, I interrogated the head demon if he had put those infirmities. Was he responsible for those infirmities being on there with his demons? And it admitted yes. And so I commanded it. If he put it on him, put those infirmities on her, just like Jesus cast infirmities out. Obviously, we deal with infirmities a lot, but I said to it, if you put the infirmities on, take them off and bind them up to you, the spirits involved. Do it now. And he finally said he had done it, and I pinned him down to confirm, will you confess what you just told me to be true before the Lord Jesus and Holy Spirit? And it admitted and confirmed, yes. Well, after blowing everything out, her face looked just totally different. The woman sitting in with me was a trainee, just marveled how this lady's face looked so different. And it was after that, then I put a seal on her and started praying for her with a limb check. She did have a short leg and a short arm, and then I had her stand up to do the praying over the brainstem, and she's standing there with and getting a grin on her face, and she's twisting all around while she's standing up, and she says, my spine is adjusting. Praise God. And as we watched, her spine came into alignment. It was so cool. I just praise God, and I haven't had a chance to talk to her yet, but there's no way she wouldn't be better. And that, and the lesson to all of us on that is look how often these demons are putting these spirits on her. And the demon also admitted he was doing it to break her God-given gifts. I got a long list of those. I had to give me things like evangelism and healing and prophecy, leadership. It was about 25 different gifts, and it admitted he had done that infirmity thing to block her from going on mission trips, etc., which she'd not been able to do, and she'd not been able to marry. She'd had various boyfriends, but because of her infirmities, they all finally backed off. So that's a lesson for all of us in ministry, and it just shows us more and more how the demonic is putting these sicknesses on people to block their lives.
Well, that also lines right up with the scripture. I was looking for it as you were talking. As you go to Luke 13:11, it says right here, and there was a woman who for 18 years had a sickness caused by a spirit, and she was bent doubled and could not straighten up at all. Kind of sounds a little like scoliosis too, doesn't it?
Yes,
when Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, woman, you are freed from your sickness. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she became erect and began glorifying God. But the key thing is there, 18 years caused by a spirit.
Yeah.
I don't know what it says in the King James. I don't know if it says spirit or demon there. But this is in the New American Standard, but they're the same thing. And it was... so that's what the thought came to my mind as you were talking about this woman who I was about to ask you, was she wheeled in on a wheelchair is the way you were talking.
Well, I know. But how many more out there like that, Ralph?
Yes.
How many more out there?
I would say there's a whole lot more. And I'm also was thinking about in Luke 18, in verse 35, when Jesus was approaching Jericho and the blind man was sitting at the road begging. Now, hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on thee. And the key there is he was crying out, was wanting it. And we talk about often on deliverance that if it's not something you want, it's really of no use for you. And that kind of goes along with Jesus, because he asked him, what do you want from me? And he said, Lord, I want my sight regained. I want to regain my sight. And Jesus said, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. So it goes to show you that faith is a type of action, and you have to go out and you have to want it. And I would bet this woman that you dealt with Monday wanted it. Someone told her
about
it.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, you know, she obviously knew Jesus, was a Christian, but she still wanted it, and she had to seek out, and it still takes a little action on your part to receive these things.
Yes. I even asked her after I'd listed down all these infirmities that she has, I said to her, would you like Jesus to heal you tonight? And she grinned and said, yes. Although, That's kind of like what Jesus did, wasn't it? He asked them.
It was.
You want to be healed.
Most of your healings, I don't know if all of them, most of your healings in Scripture is somebody wanting it and searching it, searching for it, looking for it.
Yes.
Doing some sort of action to get to it. And that's what it takes. So that's why it's so important for us who listen on this radio program to be in tune, listen to people that are talking, listen to people that are that. If you listen long enough, people will tell you all the problems they have, and it's just a good time to witness to them that, hey, you know, the words in the Bible are still true. By His stripes, I am healed. I was talking about that with a former classmate of mine this evening or this morning. We were discussing some things at an upcoming reunion, and she was telling me about her father-in-law, and I gave some advice on some health, gave some advice on how to pray. And I said, you know, admonish him real hard on this. And you think long and hard. Every time you say the word my or I am, think long and hard about what you're getting ready to say. Because the last thing you want to do is claim that illness. And it's better to lay it at the feet of Jesus than to claim it for yourself. So, and she received what I was saying, and she thanked me for it. So, I'm staying in faith that she'll be able to reach out to her father-in-law, and he'll be healed of this throat cancer. So.
Yes, I think it's very important, Ralph, that the person understand that they know, most people pretty well know, or they wouldn't be born again, that Jesus paid for their sin, but there are so many who are not aware that He paid for their healing as well. And
yeah.
It's great to get that across to them, to where it's time to receive that, what He did.
Amen. Amen. I'd like to interrupt here for just a second. We got a report from the radio station. They were having trouble getting us, so I wanted to put out that I'd sure like a reception report. Phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. If somebody could give me a call and say, hey, you're coming in or not. And I've put a couple text messages out, but just wanted to make sure we are getting everything recorded. But wanted to make sure that we were getting out tonight.
Richard, okay. The short wave signal is coming in fine. I have it here on my receiver.
Okay, and you are getting this
5.830.
And this program coming in okay?
Well, I haven't had a chance to listen. I didn't
right.
want feedback, so.
Right.
But there is a signal.
Sure. Well,
there is a signal on there.
The word that I got was that maybe they weren't getting a good signal from us, so maybe there was a break there. So, because they, if it breaks, they go ahead and put something else up, so it's not just dead air. But it looks good on our end. I'm looking at our broadcasting meter, and it looks like it's going out well. And our brother Marlon is listening in, so getting the message. So that's good.
Okay.
So we'll call it good.
All right. Well,
very good.
We'll go on believing that we are on the air. At the very least, we are being recorded, and it can be replayed next Monday. Next Friday, or this coming Friday. So. But again, this is Hope is for Live. Hope is Live. Live radio, huh, Pastor?
Yes.
Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, this is the enemy. We command it right now to stop. We break all assignments that would be sent against this radio program right now. In Jesus' name, we exercise Luke 10:19. We'd be given authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall harm us. Lord, we ask that you would send your tech angels in right now to go down and help work out these problems if they're at the shortwave station or if they're at the radio ranch, wherever they are, to work out those things for us. And we just break all satanic assignments or any curses spoken against this program. And we are going to go
Amen.
On and say, believing that the testimonies giving tonight are going to not only glorify you, they're going to help out and reach to someone who needs to hear it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's still a powerful thing and a humbling thing to think that we have that authority that was granted to us, Luke 10:19.
Yes.
That's just not my authority. It's not just pastor's authority. It's anyone who operates in the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor, we've got our first caller on the line. Caller, are you there?
Yes. How are you, Everett?
Well, I'm blessed, and I know you are too. And Sherry, thank you for calling in. Ralph's on here with me. He's up in the Branson area. And why don't you go ahead, Sherry, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, how you learned about deliverance and what your deliverance was like and changes you've seen and anything else you'd like to share. So why don't you go right ahead?
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me this evening. I feel like this is a real honor, and I also felt like it was my my duty to get some of the information out there about the deliverance ministries. I'm a born-again Christian back in 2007, and a friend brought me a couple of weeks ago. She saw that I was struggling, searching for some help and some healing, and, you know, I just didn't know what direction to turn. And whenever she suggested that I come, I was more than willing to go. You know, as we were driving up there, I was a little apprehensive. I didn't know what to expect. And then once we did the one-on-one with the ministers, you know, I was thinking, this is going to be easy. And then I thought, no, this is going to be really hard. And then I thought, this is going to be really scary. And it was all of those things. But at the end of the night, it was the most amazing experience I've been through.
Praise God. Well, when you were ministered to, did you feel those spirits coming out?
I did. There was one time when it felt like there was someone hugging me from behind, and like a weight of bricks was lifted off my shoulders. Another one was I had a tingling in my head, you know, where it felt like just like bugs were crawling around, it, you know, in my hair or something. It was an odd experience in the sense of, you know, having those feelings, but then there was like this sense of peace and a sense of relief once it was done.
So many people say they feel lighter afterwards. That was probably your experience as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and I was exhausted at the end of it, but then I felt this burst of energy and excitement. And I hadn't been sleeping. That's the first night of good sleep that I've had probably in 20 years.
Wow. So awesome.
It was amazing.
What other changes have you seen, Sherry?
I you know, was uncontrollably crying every day there for about a three-week period. I still have some little bouts of depression, but when I do, I just start praying, and, you know, to cast out the evil around me. I used to get so frustrated in traffic. Now I just pray in traffic, and I bless people, you know, when they catch you off in traffic. Instead of getting angry, I just say, I forgive you, and I bless you, and I bless myself.
There you go.
And, you know, it's my life has changed 110%.
Wow, praise God. Well, you know, that's what drives us on, is when we hear testimonies like that, Sherry, to do it again, you know. And so if some of your friends come for ministry as well?
Yes, and I actually, my friend that brought me up for the deliverance, I actually attended a Bible study with her last night, and she talked to the group for a little while, and then she left the room and had me stand up and talk. And I've never had a problem talking to people or meeting people, but it was stepping outside the box for me to stand up and actually speak to people about some of my experiences and some of the things that I went through, and how this has just changed my life. And I emailed the website information to about 20 people today and said, you know, this is, you know, coming from me, that I, you know, if there's something that I strongly believe in, I'm going to share it with everyone I know. And I think everybody in this world should have the opportunity and should take advantage of the opportunity to go through this process.
And that's certainly what the Lord has always had in mind for us, just like he did with the 12 disciples. He wants us all to network it. And this works of Jesus that Jesus commanded us to do, Mark 16:17, John 14:12, it seems the bulk of the Christian body, especially here in the America, they've skipped over that. And it seems the average church doesn't know anything about what we're talking about. Have you noticed that?
I've noticed that. Some friends that I went to church with the other day, they invited me to come to their church with them. I was explaining it to them, and she was all for, you know, a Monday night, please take me. And her husband was kind of standoffish and was like, well, you know, we don't talk about those kinds of things at our church. And I was like, well, perhaps they should. Perhaps you should go as well, so that you can go back and you can talk to the minister at your church and explain to him what you've experienced. So
yeah,
the jury's out on whether he might go or not, but she definitely is interested in coming up there.
Well, often a spouse or a friend, when they see such a change in the person that received the ministry, they decide they want some of that. I've had them say
absolutely,
that. That.
Absolutely. And it's something that we can all share.
Yes. What's the downside of getting it, you know? I've told people before, well, we can lower our price at Deliverance Ministries and pay you to come. You know? There's no cost.
Well, those of us who have come and those who will continue to come are the ones that benefit so much from such a great service that you provide. And like I said, I think every person should take full advantage of this experience.
Yes. Yeah, it's I just praise God over and over somebody shared it with me, because I could have missed it so easily, as really all of us could have missed it had somebody not shared. So
yes.
Do you have any physical improvements on health or anything?
I was having just, you know, a lot of aches and pains and a lot of tiredness and, like I said, insomnia. And I was sleeping an average of 3 to 4 hours a night, and I'm up to 5 to 6 hours a night. And it's been a little over a week. So I know that will continue to improve, and once I get back on a regular sleep schedule, I feel like I'll be able to sleep through the night.
Say, how long ago was it you had your ministry?
It was just a week ago from yesterday, so
yeah,
it's only been 8 days.
I was thinking, it was recently. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's, any other changes you can think of, Sherry, that's happened to share with the listeners?
Just my overall outlook on life. I wake up happy. I don't feel like I'm suffering anymore. I'm not having outbursts of anger anymore. Things that bothered me 2 weeks ago, it just kind of rolls off of me. And I was suffering from a lot of bouts of anger and frustration. And, you know, I didn't realize that there were so many things when they gave me the sheet to fill out. And I started circling tons of things that were issues with me. I didn't really realize that I had that many issues that were that serious that was hindering my life. And, you know, we can't go back in time. We can only go forward. And going forward, I feel so truly blessed that I was able to go through this experience. And, you know, a part of me, you know, wishes that I would have known about this years ago. And, you know, I could have saved myself some time and trouble. But the flip side of that is the struggles that we go through, when we do go through an amazing experience like this, we appreciate it so much more, and we're so much more grateful and thankful every day that we wake up and have another day on earth.
Amen. And just think, Sherry, had you not gone through that, you'd still be just like you were.
I would. So, you know, thank you to you and to the minister who assisted me. She was amazing. And everyone out there that I encountered, this was something that I thought would be, you know, an interesting experience, but it was an amazing experience, and I would highly recommend it to anybody who has the opportunity, and everyone has the opportunity.
What minister worked with you? I've forgotten, Sherry.
Her name was Jennifer.
Oh, yes, okay, great. Yeah, Jennifer's a great minister, and she did the inner healing with you as well.
Yeah.
You have some traumas of the past that carry bad feelings.
She helped take care of all of that. She took me through steps. Like, I had a bad experience when my father passed away. I found him, and he had already passed on the bathroom floor, and she walked me through that experience again and prayed over me, and as we went through the process, in the end, all I felt at the end of that was peace. So that's one thing I'm not dragging around with me anymore, is I've forgiven myself for not being there, and I'm at peace with it now.
Hallelujah. That's so awesome. Yeah, most people carry those traumas. Who's escaped having traumas, Sherry? If you've been alive long enough, it's happened. And some people have a lot of it in the childhood period, and it left them with those bad feelings that has been with them all this time up to adulthood. And of course, that's been influencing them in their lives today. Just like that anger. Did you get to the root of the anger?
I did. And that was that was one in a chain of events. From May 20th, 2013 to May 21st, 2015, I lost my home in a tornado. A year later, my brother died suddenly. And then the following year, my dad passed. So in 2 years and a day, I had those three tragedies that happened in my life.
Wow.
And I never had the opportunity to grieve one and get through the process before something else happened. And I didn't realize how much all of that stuff was dragging me down and making me so unhappy. And, you know, I was allowing the doors to open and let those demons in that was ruining my life. And I don't have any of that anymore. It's all gone.
Praise God. Ooh, glory. It puts me on a high again, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
good.
Like I said earlier,
I have never met a stranger. I've always been able to talk, but I've never been somebody that would step outside my comfort zone and speak to someone, you know, on a radio station or speak to someone or to a group of people. I never had the confidence to do that. And now I have the confidence to do things like that, and I feel like I need to get out and, you know, share that gift that I have now.
Yes. Did you find out the gifts you had?
I found out a few of them, and I know that as time goes on and I encounter different things, that I will find that I have more gifts that God has blessed me with.
Was Jennifer able to get the head demon up in your case?
She was.
Okay. And she probably had the demon give you, or she could write down the God-given gifts that you have. So did you get that paper?
And I think she did, but it was getting late because it was almost 11 o'clock that night, and we had been there since 5:30.
Mm-hmm.
And so she said that she would touch base with me, and so I look forward to hearing from her.
Mm-hmm. Well, praise God. Well, it sounds to me like you got a good Jesus overhaul.
I did. I almost feel like the bionic woman now.
Did you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are we speaking in tongues?
I haven't yet, but I am working on that. And my friend that brought me up, she said, you know, let me just do a little bit of coaching with you. And Jennifer gave me all the information, and I am hopeful that I will.
Yes, well, that'll give you even an additional boost on top of all that you have. I was a person that was very, never talked about the Lord or anything prior to receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, 42 years ago now, and that was what made the big change. I often tell people, had I not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on June 17th of 1978, that I would not be ministering to them, or I wouldn't be standing in front of them. I know that's it's a baptism of many things, but even of service and of boldness and to witness. So you already have a lot of that going at surface now. Just imagine even more, Sherry.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, before we wind up here, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners?
I can't think of anything else other than just to say, if you have the opportunity, take full advantage of the opportunity. If you're not in the Oklahoma City area, make a special trip up here. Get on the website. Book a time to come up and go through the deliverance. It will change your life. If you have medical issues, by all means, come. There is so much that can be done to change your life for the better. And I highly recommend it to anybody who's listening.
Oh, thank you, Sherry. And by the way, have you considered coming up to go through our training?
I am looking at doing some different things, and I am definitely interested, yes.
We need an army, and a lot of people, after they get free, they have a compassion to want to help others, and they see the need around them everywhere. So they tend to go through the training. They become a team leader for a while, and then next thing, they're out there ministering and in their churches and all over, and going forth in mission trips, etc. So anyway, you're welcome. We'd love to have you. It doesn't cost anything. It's on Monday nights. It starts at 6 o'clock, and you come in on the north side of the church there through the green door and just follow the signs, the team training upstairs.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Sherry. That was a wonderful testimony, and it has to encourage others. God bless you.
God bless you, and thank you so much for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You did a great job.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
You know, I kept thinking, when she said, I'm not wanting to do this, I was thinking before we got talking about these, you mentioned the boldness. I kept thinking, boldness. She's got a newfound boldness.
Yes.
That's the way it's described in Scripture. You know, we call it confidence. It's a boldness. And she just testified things that just are so common to hear, and made me think about with me is I never thought of myself as having one that would have road rage, but, you know, things that used to just drive me absolutely crazy or nuts and make me angry and scream and, you know, kind of holler and stuff, that just doesn't even bother me anymore. So
yes, that's the big difference.
I guess there was something there. I guess there was something there. Well, Pastor, we have our next caller. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Opal?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, Opal. Thank you so much for calling in. That was Ralph greeting you up in the Branson area. We're so happy to have you on the show. So why don't you go ahead, Opal, and give some history on yourself and when you were born again and how you learned about deliverance and then what your experience in deliverance has been and the changes you've seen. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, actually, I was born again. I was raised in the church, but I was born again when I was 19 years old. It was actually the year I had my daughter, and she's 30. She'll be 31 this year. And as I stated, I had been in the church, you know, raised in the church most of my life. And, you know, I had seen, you know, different things. I was raised up in the Pentecostal church and had seen a lot growing up. But I actually didn't give my own, you know, make my own confession of Christ until I was 19 years old. And it was a dramatic experience, you know, once I got saved myself. But it was like I went from one world to another world, which I actually did. And it became a whole, and I became aware of many things. So it's kind of like whenever you, as long as you're in the world and you're doing as the world, nothing, it doesn't seem, you know, as a, so much of a struggle, I guess, because you're kind of going with the wave. But once I came into Christ, then it started, and stepped over into the kingdom of God, then my own personal battles and my own personal things became very evident and very very mm-hmm. quickly. And I had a lot of problems, a lot of issues, a lot of things, and being, you know, being raised Pentecostal, a lot of stuff was guilt-ridden, and just over the years, just not really knowing how to get rid, even though you hear that, it just seemed like there's always the, you just live with the guilt, deal with the guilt, it's up and down, that's kind of was one of my problem areas. Not really knowing how to release things and just not really knowing how to operate in the kingdom of God. So I came across a lot of books. I'm an avid reader, but I definitely began to read once I became saved about the things of God, and I studied a lot. I knew I had a call in my life early, very early. I mean, but upon the heels. But I was never able. I was just moving to my calling, the things God had called me to do, or my gifts. But I was never, seemed like I never had the ability to. There was always something that derailed it, or distracted, or something that cut it off at the pass. And this has been my experience over and over and over and over again. But even though I heard about deliverance and I've read about deliverance, I've read Pigs in the Parlor. I could just, so many books. I listened to some of Derek Prince's stuff, but it wasn't really until this year that I began to see some generational things coming down, and I saw it in my grandchildren, and I knew that they were too young, so I knew it was satanic. I knew it was demonic, and I began to really do an intense seeking and asking God how to, you know, break generational curses. I just began to really do it for a whole year. It just seems like this is the culmination of all that I saw, that I would get but I've had deliverances. You know, they've been, I don't want to say mediocre, but it's just never really thorough and never really where I understood. But even though I read, I just couldn't seem to comprehend it all in one setting. And my daughter had called me about how I got to deliverance ministries. As my daughter called me, and she was in need of deliverance, and she was saying that it seemed like the God had, but she needed a more thorough, and where she really understood it. And I just told her, when we got off the phone, I'm just gonna, since you live in Oklahoma City, I'm gonna see if there's any deliverance ministries in Oklahoma City. And I looked for the deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City, and exactly what I put in came up, deliverance ministry in Oklahoma City. So we began to read. She actually pulled it up and she read on her end, I read on my end. And it just seemed, I looked at the videos and everything seemed so sound and so solid. And I was really convinced, or not really convinced, but it was a really a great witness that that you had been in this thing for years. And then when I began to listen to some of the videos and listen to the teaching, it was solid and it was grounded and it was doctrinal. You know, doctrine according to the scripture, it was scripture. I don't want to say doctrinal, but I do want to say scripture. And so it was scripture based. So what we went in and where it said to register, and I thank God that it was also accessible, very easy to, you know, get through the page and then get to the register part. And we got there and we registered and put our names in, and we were just looking forward to coming down on that Monday night. And we came down two Monday nights ago, and not really knowing exactly what to expect. We did look at the videos, but we still didn't know exactly, you know, how everything would go. And then I also had another daughter that decided she wanted to come too. So I drove from Loudoun, and they were already in Oklahoma City, so they met me there. And as we began to go into, you know, as we began to sit in on the group session, it was very informative. It was very educational. It was something that even a non-believer could get the gist of it, could understand what was happening, or they wouldn't be feel like there was so much in the dark. And and immediately, I mean, even in the group session, I just personally I began to just beyond and you know, you had already expressed and began to say some of the manifestations, the coughing and yawning and things of that nature, telling you, and just to understand that. Also, I want to go back on that when you really stress that unforgiveness is one of the major doors, and how a lot of times we brush over that, but how that was so evident. You know, in my own personal life, a lot of unforgiveness and a lot of things you might have thought you had forgiven, but when we were in the session, how things would come up in my personal session when I went to do the one-on-one ministry, you know, things would come up even during the group session when we were doing that particular session, and you gave us time to begin to meditate, you know, whether it was honoring our mother and father. And I will say that I had a very, very estranged relationship with my mother. And I believe many of my issues came, there was a wide door in my personal life because of the dishonor. And it wasn't, and you did stress, it doesn't, if you said this happened to you or that happened to you, that is, you say, I don't disagree, but what I am saying is God requires us to honor our parents. And if you don't honor your parents, you open a wide, you know, the door for the enemy to come in. And that was real plain to me. Well, I had already knew that for some things, but, you know, you brought it back home when you were ministering that, and the unforgiveness, and even how the enemy traps us because of, you know, sometimes we feel like that we have a right, or we have the right to withhold forgiveness. And then the biggest one for me was, besides my parents, was myself. I think I had a harder time forgiving myself than I had forgiving anybody. And so a lot of things, I began to, you know, do a lot of yawning, and, you know, actually when we were in the closed door session, when we were closing the doors. And by the time I got up to the one-on-one session with minister, with Brother Frank, by the time we got up there and I sat down, I think, and he began to go to interview me, and we hadn't gotten to interview, I don't even think, a good maybe 7 minutes, when spirits began to actually come forth and begin to speak. Me being in ministry, I've ministered, I've been, you know, I pray, I know I'm saved, but I didn't know, I just was not aware that it was that much going on in my soul, in my mind, my will, my intellect. I mean, I knew it was a lot going on, but it was even more than I could fathom was going on. But I could see where I was exhibiting all these, one of the things of heavy manifestations was of heaviness, and how I dealt with loneliness, and how I dealt with grief and sorrow and burdens, and even when he was ministering, even the head, he was able to bring up the head, and the head said murder.
The head demon.
And that really threw me. And it's like I was, as the ministry was going forth, it was like they were on stage and I was behind the curtains. That's the way it seemed to me. Like they were front and center and I was just behind the curtains, almost watching and hearing everything that was going on. And and I just couldn't understand, you know, at the beginning I couldn't understand murder, but I began to understand in my life. Actually, one of the major controversies between in my family is that I would just use my mouth, and I did this from a young age. I would say things, and it's like I could cut people real quickly in with my words. And it's like something I remember. It almost felt like something would, and it would overtake me. And I would just be uncontrollable. And I mean, I would just say things, and then it's like I would come out of it maybe 20 minutes later. But then the Holy Spirit began to show me that was it. And it created a early on in my, you know, in my adulthood, it really created some problems for my family, but I didn't understand it. I even had in that particular spirit, the head spirit said that there were 16 under him. And it began to talk about, and all the ones that he named, you know, I manifested, I understood. He said he was talking about grief, and I know, you know, that got in, and burdens and loneliness, and even he even said thyroid, and I end up having to go and do a nuclear medicine for my thyroid, and it said that division and guilt, and I just wouldn't have never thought that all that was operating in my soul. But as you stated before, when we come into this life, some things meet us because they're actually in our bloodline. And then other things meet us because of trauma, and other things come in because of the doors we open through disobedience and sin. And then if we think about all the ancestors that are also, that we're dealing with the sins of the fathers, then it's not too hard to come up with those numbers. But they were not just numbers. They were just numbers downstairs, but it became very evident to me once I got into one-on-one session that this was real. I will say one thing I noticed after the deliverance, afterwards, I would have, because of being a single parent and raising children, I had this like burden, but I also had this weight that's almost set just right, and it was almost doomed. That it was almost a doomed feeling, always feeling that I would never, you know, be free or never get things right, and just feeling like, you know, like the more I do, the more that was undone, and it was just like this vicious cycle, and I would feel this just right in the, I don't know how to express, like it's almost like a weight, a real weight, in the middle of my chest, and I remember just the thought would bring up this feeling, this really, really. This dark feeling. And I remember after being delivered, a situation came up, but I remember I didn't feel it no more. I didn't feel I didn't feel that the hopelessness, because that's what it was. It was like hopelessness and helplessness, and I didn't feel that weight anymore. And then I also had a daughter that came. One of my daughters did testify, and she told me later that a spirit told me that had entered me at the age of 5. She said in her own session, and it was separate from my session, that same spirit said that it entered her at 5 also. So this is these things are generational. This is real.
Yes.
You know, and it does hinder our purpose and our walk. And like I said, many things that I know God has given me, but it seemed like things would either be cut off at the pass, or they wouldn't come, or they would be, you know, things would be stillborn. Things, you know, or they would be stolen from me. And then also it not only told about the bad stuff, but it told about the good stuff. And it began to say, well, Brother Frank asked him, well, what's her calling? What's her gift? What, you know? And it said, she's an end time prophet, and she has the gift of compassion. And he got really mad about the compassion and the mercy. He said, how can I be the spirit of murder and she still have mercy for people? They don't work together. They don't go together. I don't like that. And he got really, really, really angry, spoke really, really intensely about that. And as I stated, I'm hearing some of it. I heard, I don't think some of it I didn't, but it's like I'm backstage and they're, you know, up front and center. But
right.
I was able to see, you know, what I had. It just opened my eyes to so much. You know, you think once you become a Christian, you think it's done. It's one and done. Everything's over. And that's it. And deliverance has to be applied like healing. And we have to receive those things like anything, like you receive Christ. And you receive the work that he did on the cross. And,
yes.
And a lot of Christians don't go far as to deliverance in working out their own soul salvation. They don't, you know, a lot of them wouldn't believe like I did. I knew it was some demonic activity. I read enough, I've heard enough, I've seen enough to understand there is some stuff going on in our soul that could be, that is totally separate from our spirit, but in our souls, it could be so much going on. I understood that, but I was even surprised about how much was going on.
How many demons?
But I tell you, God,
I do appreciate
like they say in the army, for your service. I do appreciate your service to the King and the Kingdom, and it's just so refreshing to know that. That someone in this particular kind of service, and it is every Monday night. I mean, I would have just never known. I wouldn't have never known. And even since then, I've actually invited or told. I mean, 8 people have come. This only been 2 weeks. 8 people have came for ministry. I've invited 8 people. They come up from 2 from Oklahoma City, but the rest from Lawton, and for ministry.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so needed, and that'll be part of my testimony. Whenever people speak, I let them know, you know, when they're struggling, you know, have you received deliverance? Deliverance is real, and it needs it. It's something that every Christian needs to experience to go on and walk in the fullness of God and fulfill the call of God and the purpose of life, and not to live. So many Christians are living miserable. They're saved, but they're so miserable in their souls. And that's because of these demons that are harassing and tormenting our lives. And you would think you have to go, but all we have to do is apply the word that was applied that Monday night that I went. The word of God. And it is God. You know, Jesus just made it so. He said healing is the children's bread. And Jesus made it where it was accessible to the children of God, and accessible to just people, because he had people who didn't even know them. He delivered people that didn't even know them, and then they accepted him. So God is just, so whosoever will, let him come. And And I'm just appreciative. I'm so appreciative that God,
we're out of time.
And a soldier and somebody who decided to answer that particular call. Because it's so
we're out of time.
It's so.
Richard, can you turn the gain up? Hopefully we're out of time now.
To use the sheep that you gave us and the direction that you gave us, and I even came up.
Yes, thank you so much.
Go ahead and close out, and I'll...
Each other's Opal.
Sure.
God bless you, and I'll look forward to seeing you now that you're going through the training. Thank you again, Opal. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And again, if you have any questions or about deliverance, deliveranceusa.com, or you can get the book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, by Pastor Cox. Call Richard at the office, 307-742-7582, and he'll get it out to you. Thank you, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
God bless you all.
Chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy,
ooh, to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
ooh, and to overcome, ooh, all the power of the enemy.
Nothing will harm you.
Nothing will harm you.